May the Lord help us to commence our worship today by singing hymn number 290. 290. Dangers of every shape and name attend the followers of the Lamb, who leave the world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. Hymn number 290. From God's holy word, we will read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 54 and 55. Isaiah 54 and 55. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. Here ends the reading. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls. Benji, will you pray, please?
O Lord, we do seek that thou wilt come and be our helper this morning. Lord, that thou wilt come and indite true prayer in our hearts as we seek thee. Lord, we come into thy house once more, seeking thy presence. Lord, for we can do nothing without thee. Our eyes are up unto thee to come and be with us this day. O Lord, do help us then to truly confess our sins before thee, and to seek thy mercy. Oh, to know that thou alone canst forgive us our sins and make us right for an ever-ending eternity. Our eyes then are fixed on thee, the one thing needful, the one as can do these things for us. Oh, Lord, we are poor, wretched, undone sinners. We come unto thee then as poor, wretched creatures, seeking thy mercy, seeking thy forgiveness, to know thee, our Saviour and our Redeemer, the one as can cleanse us from all our sins and make us right for an ever-ending eternity, to which we're each fast hastening on. Lord, we're going through this life with an eternity before us. Oh, thou wilt come and prepare us each, that thou wilt wash us in thy blood and make us clean, prepared for that never-ending eternity, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt have mercy upon our never-dying souls and work in our hearts and quicken our souls into life and draw us unto thee. O Lord, do look down then in mercy upon us and remember us for good. Be our helper still. O Lord, go before us then, as thou hast helped us hitherto. Thou hast granted us many mercies and brought us through thus far, for which we desire a truly thankful heart, for all thy help and all thy mercy to us, and pray that thou wilt still be merciful to us the rest of our journey here below, that thou wilt keep us in that right way, looking unto Jesus, the one thing needful. Oh, that thou wilt come and shed abroad thy love in our hearts and draw us unto thee. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt remember us for good and go before us still. O, do be our helper then while here below. Lord, thou knowest the cases and the needs of each one that has come into thy house this morning. We know not any of it, but Lord, thou knowest it all. All is open and known unto thee. Thou dost rule in heaven above. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt be each one's helper, that thou wilt cause thy word to be made truly suitable to each and to every case. O Lord, and that there might be those that leave thy house this day, rejoicing in thee as their Saviour and their Redeemer, the one who can do all things for them. O Lord, do look down then in mercy upon each one. Work in hearts and bring them to know thee. O Lord, and we do pray that there might be those that can come and tell what thou hast done, that there might be thy goodness made manifest in our midst, that thou hast worked. O Lord, thou alone canst do it. The work is thine, the power is thine. We pray then that thou wilt come, work wondrously in our midst, and draw forth that praise, honour and glory to thy great name. O Lord, do help us then to trust in thee, to have that true and living faith, to truly believe and to come unto thee. Do remember us then in mercy. O Lord, we do pray that if it could be thy will, thou wilt send us a pastor after thine own heart. Lord, we look to thee to do these things for us. Lord, leave it not to our choosing, but oh, that thou wilt come and bring a man after thine own heart to go in and out before us. Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt work and help us still. Do remember this country of ours, O Lord, we commit all into thy hand once more. Wickedness grows worse and worse. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and stem the tide of wickedness. Stem that tide of evil if it can be thy will. Work in some of our leaders' hearts and bring them to turn unto thee, to look to thee and to seek thy mercy still, to seek to know thee, to look to thee to guide and direct their steps and show them what to do. Lord, thou only canst do it. We do pray then that thou wilt remember. And we pray that thou wilt bring others into this house to hear thy word, to hear what thou hast said. O Lord, that we each might hear thy voice, that thou wilt come and reveal thyself into our hearts and draw us unto thee. Do remember us then in mercy and go before us, and remember all thy people throughout the world. O Lord, those in persecution and distress, we do pray that thou wilt uphold and strengthen and be with each one. O Lord, and bring them forth to praise thy great and holy name. Do we pray now that thou wilt be with us this morning, that thou wilt help our brother in reading the sermon. Lord, that which was preached in time past, we pray that thou wilt cause it to be life and light to our never-dying souls even this morning, and that thou wilt use it to the good and the honour and glory of thy great name. Remember thy servant that we expect tonight. Lord, give him a message, a word to bring, and grant him that liberty to speak. O Lord, we look to thee then to work and to bring forth thy servants with that message for us each, week by week, service by service. O Lord, that thy name might be honoured and glorified, and good done to never dying souls. Do have mercy then upon us each, and remember us now for good, and go before us. O Lord, we seek these great things in thy name. We look to thee to remember us each for good. Help us now, we pray, as we seek thee. We seek thee then for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 714, 714. Why so cast down, dejected soul? A loving Christ is near. Thy broken bones he can make whole, and drooping spirit cheer. Hymn 714.
Thank you.
I'll try and read the sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom. You'll find the words of the text in Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 54, verses 11 and 12. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Some of the most precious promises in the whole Word of God are to be found in this beautiful chapter. And these precious promises are made to those who are afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Now I wonder if any of those are here this morning. Well, it does speak of the Lord's remembrance of you, and he knows the way you take, and he is full of compassion and gracious, and he is well able to deal with your case, to make things different, to comfort you in your trial, to help you, to uphold you, to deliver you, to bring you through. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Now God promised that he would leave in the midst an afflicted and poor people, and that they should trust in the Lord. He also promised, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Some of God's people are afflicted in body, some are afflicted in mind, some are afflicted in their purse, some are afflicted in their circumstances, some are afflicted in their family. Some are afflicted in the church of God. Some are afflicted in their business. Some are afflicted in their relationships with other people. And then, of course, there are the spiritual afflictions, indwelling sin, the temptations of Satan, tried, tempted, opposed, persecuted, misunderstood, from sinner and from saint, receiving many a blow. O thou afflicted, the Lord will see to it that in greater or less measure, you will be afflicted at various times. Otherwise, there is not much burden, not much exercise, not much prayer. Oh, but that loving, gracious understanding. What a word that is. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. To see it in the person and sufferings and finished work of the Lord Jesus. To see it in the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. To see it in Gethsemane and at Calvary. To consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. O thou afflicted, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. The identity of Christ with his people, a loving, merciful, gracious high priest, touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He will not break the bruised reed, and the smoking flax he will not quench. When he was here on earth, how many there were afflicted who came to him. You can think of Jairus. You can think of the woman who pressed through the crowd. You can think of the one who said, "Lord, help me." You can think of poor Bartimaeus. You can go on. O thou afflicted, but the Lord's loving, merciful, gracious understanding. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. Now this is it, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. That is what the Lord does for his afflicted people. He bears them and he carries them all the days of old. O thou afflicted. Now what is an affliction to one is not an affliction to another. You must never sit in judgment on another person. You perhaps think a person has not any affliction. Well, I have had it, beloved friends, I must confess. I have perhaps some Lord's Day looked round the congregation, and perhaps I have looked on some person and I have thought, happy person, I do not know of any troubles you have. And perhaps the very next day that person will be at our house or on the phone to tell me some deep secret trouble. Of course, the well-known case in one of our chapels is that eminent minister, Francis Coville. Someone visited him and said, "Everyone knows you. Your preaching is doctrinal, experimental, but you are all right. You don't have any trouble." Coville did not say a word. He took the person up to a bedroom, and there he had a grown-up son who was a complete imbecile who could not speak a word. He said, "There, friend, is my trouble." Then with some a very little thing is an affliction. Others it would not touch at all. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. The thought is of a weather-beaten ship, like the disciples when the Lord constrained them and they ventured forth. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Oh, how afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted they were. And the Lord Jesus was not with them. He had gone up to the top of the mountain. Now we are told that he saw them. He always does. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. They could not see him, but he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Then in the darkest hour he came right where they were. "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. The Christian life is a spiritual voyage. There is the embarking. O beloved friends, you will never reach heaven unless you sail heavenwards. You leave this world's deceitful shore. You leave it to return no more. And at times there will be the storm and the tempest, but you have an anchor. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. Though afflicted, tempest-tossed, comfortless a while thou art, do not think thou canst be lost. Thou art graven on my heart. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, the love that fills the Saviour's heart here, and not comforted, they cannot comfort themselves. No one can comfort them. The best of men, the best of ministers cannot comfort them. The work exceeds all nature's power. Now this is a sad case. I wonder if this one is here this morning, afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Maybe the world does not know it. Your friends do not know it. The Church of God does not know it. But you know it. Here on your heart this burden lies. You know those secret things, those burdens, those trials, those sorrows. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold. O the many times I have mentioned this to you, when the Lord says, behold, we need to listen. When the Lord says, behold, he is going to do something. He is going to appear. So it is here. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. The Lord is going to work. The poor soul cannot do anything. Helpless, unworthy, incapable. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. The Lord is going to work. Have you noticed? He keeps saying, I will. Oh, these shalls and wills of Almighty God. I will. The Lord is going to work. I'll just pause here for the benefit of our younger ones. In the scriptures, you will find that God usually speaks and says, I will, which is very determinate. It means it must surely come to pass. And in the scriptures, it says, he shall, which is stronger than saying, he will. This is the determinate future, the determination of God that he will make these things come to pass. And the English language, in the English language today, we usually say will, and we don't use these words shall and will in the way they are used in the scriptures. Now, I do not need to tell you, do I, that this promise here is couched in most figurative language. Really, it is as if the Lord is speaking to his beloved people as a city, and that city is absolutely in ruins. It does not seem that it can ever be built again, it can ever be inhabited. Just a ruined city with everything in decay and everything falling down. It is in the terms of this analogy that the Lord speaks these beautiful words. But I would always remind you of one thing. When the Lord speaks in figurative language, do not think of it being something imaginary, something fanciful. These are blessed, divine realities that are couched in this figurative language. The Song of Solomon is in beautiful language. It is an allegory. There is the poetry, but do not just think of it as something sentimental. This is the blessed reality of Christ's everlasting love to his people and their love in return. These are divine realities. This is spoken to all the people of God in all ages, spoken to his beloved church, spoken to Zion, the city of the living God, and then spoken to the sinner personally. It does not matter really which way you take it, the whole church of God, or whether you take it as a personal believer. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, it is all a waste, it is all a ruin, everything is decaying, and the poor soul can do nothing about it, helpless, incapable. Now, says the Lord, I am going to do it. Do not be too swallowed up with all the details. Really, what the Lord is saying is, I am going to make everything completely different. There is going to be a gracious revival. There is going to be a building up again. There is going to be divine restoration. All this speaks of a building going up. A beautiful building, and the city is going to be rebuilt. But it is more than that. Precious stones, beautiful stones. It is going to be like Solomon's temple. It is going to be amazing for its beauty and glory. It's not going to be just some patched up restoration. Beloved friends, if we think of this word concerning ourselves and our congregations, what about the Church of God today? The ruin of the Church of God, the departure of the Church of God, the declension of the Church of God, and our only hope, if he who is the great and glorious and almighty head of the church should intervene. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. No other hope have we than this. May it be our prayer. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now this is what the Lord says he is going to do. There is all this ugliness, this ruined city, everything decaying, everything broken down. Now there is going to be a beautiful city taking its place. It reminds us of that promise in a later chapter in Isaiah. The Lord says he will give beauty for ashes. Everything burned up, burned down, nothing left but ashes. I will give thee beauty for ashes. A wonderful thing when this is performed in the church of God. A wonderful thing when this is performed in our souls. And especially a wonderful thing when he gives us the beauty of Christ's righteousness for the ashes of our own. But first, there is that burning up of the old covenant of works righteousness. It all has to be burned up. You look on your own righteousness, it is burned up to ashes. And then the Lord gives you the beautiful, pure, white robe of Christ's righteousness for the ashes of your own. Well, there is beauty for ashes here. Fair colours, sapphires, agates, carbuncles, precious stones. It is also a figure of joy instead of sorrow. This captivity is going to be turned. There is not much joy, is there, when you are afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. But there is going to be joy instead of sorrow. Now it is only the Lord who can turn sorrow into joy, whether it is spiritual sorrow or natural sorrow. People today can turn all kinds of things into all kinds of other things, yet they can never turn sorrow into joy. But he whose first miracle was to turn water into wine has that blessed ability to turn sorrow into joy. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Let us try to look at the words a little more closely. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours. There is going to be this building up. The city is going to be rebuilt. The wastes are going to be repaired with fair colours. Well, just before this, he has been speaking of the rainbow. I suppose in nature nothing has fairer colours than the rainbow. He has been speaking about Noah's flood. He has been speaking about the rainbow, the token of God's mercy and his faithfulness and his covenant of grace. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. I do set my bow in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. And the darker the cloud, the brighter the bow. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, how dark the cloud is, but how bright these fair colours. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. He said, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that cloud did not come by accident or chance. The Lord with some gracious purpose brought it. He says, when I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. Joseph Hart, in his beautiful hymn on the rainbow, ends like this. Those lively colours shine to show that heaven is surely mine. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours. Covenant mercy, covenant love, covenant faithfulness. So there is going to be the reviving. You are not going to be left to sink. The church of God is not going to be left to despair. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours. Oh, these lively colours of the rainbow. As I have sworn unto Noah and given these lively colours as the emblem, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. His anger put away in Christ. His anger put away in the atonement. So have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Now this is the promise. These are the fair colours. To you who are afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. That is trouble, isn't it? When Noah's flood took place, literally the mountains departed, and literally the hills were removed. They could not be seen anymore. Oh, these mountains you have. Some of you have had to leave your home. Some of you have had to leave your past lives. Some of you have had such changes. Some of you have had such disappointments. Some of you have had such losses. Oh, when these mountains begin to depart and these hills to remove, these things you felt were solid forever, you have come to it, afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Your mountains have departed and your hills have been removed. And then one of these wonderful buts of the gospel. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, the one that speaks is the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Now the foundation on which the church is built, the foundation on which your hope is built, the foundation on which every promise is built, is a precious foundation. Sapphires were precious things. They still are. I will lay thy foundations with sapphires. Of course, you know that the colour of the sapphire is a beautiful blue. It is a heavenly blue. It signifies heaven. This foundation on which you are built does not spring from the earth. It is not something you devise. It is a heavenly foundation in the person and work of Jesus, in his faithfulness, in his promises, in his covenant of grace, in his everlasting love. Oh, this foundation. I will lay thy foundations with sapphires. It does not matter how afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted you are, if you feel the Lord in your little experience laying that foundation. Beneath thy fainting head, thy father and thy friend, his everlasting arms has laid to succour and defend. Now that is the foundation, a foundation unchangeable, and you see the preciousness of it. I will lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates. I should think this again means a precious stone, but one which is clear. You can see through it, you can look through it. When you feel afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, whether it is in your soul, or in your family, or in the church of God, or whatever it is, well, whichever way you look, you cannot see anything. There does not seem to be any window through which you look. You try to look forward, it's all dark and beclouded. You look for help on the right hand or the left, but there do not seem to be any windows. You try to look back in your soul's experience, you cannot find anything. And if you try to look up, there does not seem to be any window in the roof. But when the Lord makes your windows of agates, when there is light shining in darkness, when you can look up and see that God is on the throne, he is still almighty, he is still in control and still lives. He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. You are able to look on the right hand and the left, and you see the people of God in their love and their prayers. And looking back, you remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Oh, these windows, sweet to look back and see how the Lord appeared for you. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles. Now a carbuncle, of course, is a blood-red stone, again precious, but not blue, not transparent or glittering white, a blood red. These gates, oh, the gate of pardon, the gate of gospel liberty, the gate of sweet assurance, the gate of access to a holy God, the gate of prayer. Oh, but it is all through the blood of Christ. It is all through the atonement. Go through the gates, says the prophet. And that gate of hope, a door of hope, even in the valley of Achor. And that gate of deliverance, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Oh, these gates of carbuncles. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. You see, it is all what the Lord is going to do. It is these precious promises. It is his love, It is his mercy. It is his most blessed ability. And all thy borders of pleasant stones. Even the things which you say do not matter in a building, in a city. Just borders, just verges, just the edges. All thy borders of pleasant stones. Everything here is worthy of a God. And that wonderful promise to crown it all. And all thy children, all of them, every one of them, shall be taught of the Lord. There are no desolations there, no waste places there. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Oh, it is joy instead of sorrow. It is liberty instead of bondage. It is light instead of darkness. It is a complete transformation. Do you believe the Lord can do it in the church of God? Do you believe he can do it in your own soul, in your own life? It is a complete deliverance. It is a most blessed reviving. This is the time of refreshing that shall come from the presence of the Lord. This complete difference. This difference that only God himself can accomplish. Oh, may we be encouraged to look up for it. To look up, to look to Jesus, to rest on his promise, to plead his mercy, to confess our sin, and to prove this. All thy wastes, all of them, all thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of love can do. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Sadler will preach this evening at 6:30, and tomorrow Mr. Pocock will preach at our special services at 3:00 in the afternoon and 6:15, and collections for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Fred Ince will preach and administer the Lord's Supper. And as a preliminary notice of a church meeting on Monday, the 2nd of September, after the prayer meeting. And John, will you close after the hymn, please? Let us now sing hymn 333. 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you. Dear kind and gracious God, we do pray thy blessing upon the service this morning. Lord, that which has been read to us, oh, do apply, Lord. May there be something. May we take home and be to it. Lord, we do pray that thou'll be with each one gathered here this morning. We do pray for our visiting friends this morning. Lord, may there have been something for them. Lord, do grant thy blessing. Be with us as we part. We thank thee for the beautiful sunshine today. Oh, for the refreshing showers on the pasture. Oh, thy goodness to us. Lord, we do pray that thou would come up with thy servant this evening. Help him at St. Ives during the day. And Lord, do give him that word to bring here this evening. And grant thy blessing, we pray. And thy servant expected on the morrow. Lord, grant thy blessing upon the services. Be with us as we part. Remember each one. Remember those in affliction. Remember any away. Lord, do remember each one. Oh, and do forgive anything that thou hast seen amiss. In our worship this morning, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.